Debt is probably the biggest problem that Ian Traynor comes across.
The most common one is when they have a bill, maybe £700-£800. They come to us and say, we cannot pay this. And I would normally ask them, have you contacted the utility? And they say, yeah. And I ask them, what kind of offer have they made for you to pay this account? And based on that information, I'll go back to the utility and say, well, you really should be offering them something better than what you have offered them.
Jackie Carlin, who's now an advice worker, has experienced debt herself. A friend told her that a dry meter would be cheaper to run.
It's just a meter. You don't have to pay it as you go. They bill you. So I got that one in. And they didn't come to read it for a year. And although I kept saying, I'm going to have to phone them, it's not priority. And it was a year before I actually got into gear and said, look, I'm going to have to phone them. The hydroelectric sent me a bill for £900, which I couldn't afford to pay at once. They gave me 7 days to pay it. Then they asked me for £57 a week, which was approximately three quarters of my income support per week, which was unbelievable because there was no way I could live off that.
Ian Traynor helped her out as well.
I'd worked for hydroelectric in a fairly senior position for 16 years, so I know the billing system fairly well. I discovered that there was an inaccuracy on the billing system. So based on that, they actually gave her a £100 reduction on the bill. We were then able to have a card meter installed, and we recovered that outstanding money at £2.50 per week, which is a much more sensible option, because if the utilities make unrealistic payment requests, the tenant will default. And of course, the whole scenario starts up again, that the debt builds up again, they come back to us. So it's a two-way thing, that we are actually trying to ask them to act responsibly, and really, we make an agreement, then let's stick to this agreement line, because there's no point in exacerbating the situation that they keep continually coming back to us. So we have to empower them to, let's act sensibly here.
The use of card meters can be a solution, but they're not without their drawbacks.
It is a higher rate as such, because they never really enjoy any of the benefits that a direct debit customer would enjoy. They would enjoy a 4% discount. But my understanding, I see someone who's going to the post office every week and paying £15 is just as good as a direct debit customer. But these benefits are never passed on to the quantum meter customers, or the card meter customers, as we like to know them.
I also know numerous amounts of people who get into problems with their electricity because of not being able to pay. And they get the card meters and they cut their cards and they can use it twice. But they don't realise that when their bill eventually, when their meter's eventually read, they haven't actually bought the amount of cards that they're using. So they're going to be billed anyway, and the cycle goes on again. People can't afford to pay them.
Others have looked at other means of having electricity free of charge. They've looked at what we call a black box. That's where you can actually connect this to the meter, and it actually starts reversing the dials on the meter. Yeah, there's quite a lot of the industry involved in that, where you could physically buy them outright or you could actually hire them. It's got to such a stage that people know exactly when the meter reader's coming. They've got a fair idea when he comes. So what they do is they use them in between this year for perhaps 6 months of the year. Normally you would tend to think that they would maybe receive bills of £30, £40, but they're quite sensible. They still receive bills of maybe £200-£300, but in fact they're maybe using £400-£600 worth of electricity. So some of them are quite shrewd in how they operate that. Others are not so worldly wise, and they end up with bills of £10. In hydroelectric, no, yeah, there's something going on here. We have to find out what's happening there, and they normally do.
Other people who have no wish to defraud the utility companies often make ends meet in a very simple way, as Angela Yee from Age Concern Scotland explains.
I think older people are certainly many older people would be likely not to spend the amount of money they need to keep the houses warm, because they're worried about bills, they're worried about getting into debt. We know that many older people choose prepayment meters, for instance, which is an expensive way of paying for your fuel. And the reason they do that is that they're basically assured that they won't get a bill they can't pay. But in effect, they disconnect themselves if they can no longer afford to feed the meter. And we're working with Scottish Power to try and persuade them to change the system where prepayment fuel meters don't cost any more. There shouldn't be the slightest bit of extra charge, because after all, people are paying in advance I also think older people like to have a range of options about methods of payment, and many of them like to pay cash in small sums, which doesn't appeal to many of the fuel suppliers. But nevertheless, the sort of profits that these companies make and the fact that they're delivering a service that is everyone's right, well, we would say you just have to make these allowances. People should have options to pay the way that suits them. People who want to pay by direct debit should be allowed to do so. People who want to pay with cash should do so. And we must remember that many people on lower incomes, older people especially, don't have bank accounts. And banks won't allow you to open one unless you've got a fairly regular income.
Jackie Carlin's experience in the Dundee district of Charleston also confirms what Angela says.
It's very hard to get a bank account if you haven't got a job anyway. So, yeah, a lot of people don't have bank accounts. We've got something in Charleston called the Charleston Credit Union, which started up a few years ago, and that's like a people's bank. And, yes, it's easier for the people to access because it's here in Charleston and the collections are twice a week. And people can borrow from there, but obviously only so much, you know, part of whatever they've put in. So that makes it easier for the people to actually own a bank account and borrow. That's the only facility apart from if they go to lenders like Provident, people like that, and then they're paying horrendous interest on that. I know firsthand, you know, how much they take back on that. Yeah, you find more people are going towards these people. That's their only source of getting a loan, either the credit union or these Providents and different places like that.
They're money lenders. You rob your left, right and centre. If you borrow £1,000 from them, you're paying over £2,000 back. Now we've got a money lender. You know why you have not got any grey hair? Because I didn't worry about paying them back. Let them worry about me paying them. Okay, they send you a letter to the court of the house and then, what did they do? Can't I throw you in jail? Tell them a story. And they go, what happened? Oh, but I'll be in next week and I'll give you a wee bit extra. That's all I want to get. Oh no, don't get involved with the money lenders.